Toronto Zoomer Radio and Jan Arden, Jan in concert across the GTA starting this weekend in Markham, then Oakville, Mississauga, Brampton. Go to janarden.com for details. And this is the Morning Zoom with Sam and Jane. I love my city. But right now, for a lot of people, Toronto is a scary place. Day after day, stories of transit riders being punched and pushed on the subway platform, attacked on buses. And earlier this week, a woman riding the streetcar was stabbed in the face and head. TTC workers swarmed, shot with a BB gun, and people targeted on the streets too by total strangers, unprovoked. What is going on and what needs to be done? Our guest is Toronto Mayor John Tory. Welcome back to the Morning Zoom, Mayor Tory.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You know, I've been living in Toronto since 1984, Mayor Tory, and to hear Sam run down that list of all kinds of violence, not over the course of several months, but several days, it is unnerving and strange. What do you think is going on?
Well, let me address that in two respects. I mean, first, I think it's important, and I don't want anybody to conclude that I'm being complacent about any of this, but, you know, on the TTC, for example, while there have been a very unfortunate series of incidents that are shocking, you know, we are still moving millions of people every day perfectly safely. And secondly, on the sort of the streets in general, while there have been, again, incidents that are very troubling, and I'll come back to sort of why that might be, you know, the city is still one of the safest in the world. So I think we have to make sure we keep it that way, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, I've suggested we allocate more resources to the police budget, for example, and that's been controversial with some people who were demonstrating in front of my office the other day and saying we should cut the police budget by 50%. So there's a clear choice to be made there. As to why this is happening, I guess, you know, one thing to be noted is these are random incidents. That doesn't make them easier to accept or that they create less anxiety because of that, but I think we should, you know, take into account they're random. I think, and I've speculated on this not as a medical or mental health expert, that there may be something that's coming out of the pandemic period we all went through, and there was a lot of stress in that, I think, as we all know, for young people and older people alike. And, you know, because I don't know that there's much else that could explain, you know, and I will just say this. I mean, I think when you see someone come on a subway platform and push somebody onto the tracks who's a total stranger, there are issues there. I mean, it's not that people are known to each other or any of that kind of thing. It doesn't change the horror of the event. Same with some of the things like that happened downtown, you know, with the elderly woman being pushed and so on. Mm-hmm. So I just will tell you that we're trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, I've had meetings this week, you know, a number of meetings with the police chief, with the TTC CEO. We're having a meeting with all the people in one room together, including with the police on the end of the week. So we're trying to get to the bottom of what is a very complex challenge that we face in trying to make sure we keep the city safe.
It's horrifying, though, when we hear these stories involving, like, young teenagers, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. I don't recall, as Janie was saying earlier, I don't recall in my 30-plus years here ever hearing these stories.
I agree with you. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, even the fact that you often hear about them because they'll mention that it's the Young Offenders Act, or now they call it the Youth Justice Act, and that they can't give the name in the picture. But, you know, it's just a mention that way. But these are, you know, the one with the swarming, the one that happened recently on the bus. You know, these are, and frankly, for that matter, the ones that are happening in the schools. You know, I said before, and I say it with no answer to it, but why would a young person, a teenager, take a gun to a school? I mean, how did they get the gun in the first place is a sort of even better question, but why would they take it to school? Why would anybody take a replica gun to school and pull it out, knowing the incredible danger that poses in a number of respects, including to them? And I the only explanation you can think of beyond ones, and this is what we're looking into in a very, you know, sort of methodical way, as between the police, the school board, and all the people that have been sitting talking about this, is the only thing that's happened that was very unusual and that would have affected people's state of mind and perhaps their behavior is the pandemic, where, you know, if you look at kids, they were home for a long period of time, not with their friends, not in the environment of school, which is often a very helpful and stabilizing environment for kids. So, you know, mm-hmm. We're obviously trying to get to the bottom of it, but I think most of your listeners will understand I don't have, as the mayor, an easy answer to that. I don't pretend to, and I don't, and I'm just honest in saying that, and I'm getting the best people together that I can to see if we can come up with both an answer, but also some actions that we can undertake to try and address that. And I'll say, for example, in the case of the young people and the school board, we have some programs that we're going to put into place that are locally delivered that are meant to kind of take a greater sense of, I'll call it mentorship and partnership with some of those school-age kids that might be prone to get into trouble, and we're going to be implementing some of that and announcing it shortly, and it comes out of the discussions we've had about some of the incidents in the schools that are so unusual.
I think you may have hit the nail on the head right there. This feeling of disconnect is a wider feeling, not just among these youngsters, these young teenagers, but people in general. And if that mental health bridge has been broken, how do we get it restored in light of coming out of the pandemic and getting people back to a sense of normalcy and back to a sense of hope?
Yeah, I mean, that is the question. And, you know, I took note. I wrote a note just this week to, and I reiterated a request I had made of the Prime Minister that he convene a summit. And I know some people might roll their eyes about that, but one of the problems with mental health is that, you know, you've got a somewhat of a dispersal of responsibility. I mean, the main responsibility, and the point I made in this statement is, it's time we started to treat mental health as health. You know, I mean, what is the real difference? I mean, mental health indicates there's something that's going a bit wrong with your brain as opposed to your heart or your lung, but it's still health. And I think right now we just don't have a comprehensive approach. And you may have seen the information that came out this week from the Ontario Psychologists Association saying, I think they said that the number of mental health inquiries and need for help that people had asked for had tripled to hundreds of thousands. And so I just think we don't have a system in place. It's not a system. And we don't have the resources in place, even within what you might describe as a system, to look after people. And I think in an environment where that obvious tripling of need for help indicates there's a problem probably related to the pandemic, because that's when it happened. We've got to get everybody together and say, all right, who's responsible for what and what are we going to do? And the city's role usually is to be the delivery agent for these things because we're local. I noted in the same statement that I made earlier in the week that we lost 595 people died in Toronto last year because of drug overdoses. And, you know, we talk a lot about the homicide number, which is sort of, I think last year was in the 70s, and I'm not minimizing that. We talk about how many pedestrians we have that are in collisions and sometimes lose their lives. And yet we had 595 people, and that's very much related to the entire question of, you know, social dislocation and mental health. They're all tied together, and this is a crisis facing the city, and I think is perhaps tied to some of these kinds of incidents that that you talk about.
And is there enough money in the city budget allocated to mental health initiatives, Mayor?
Well, but this is kind of the point that I'm making. The principal responsibility, I'm not trying to pass the buck here. People understand. Cities were set up to provide, you know, hard services to people. We pick up the solid waste. We have the police come, the ambulance, the fire, the water, all those things. We are capable, very capable, of being delivery agents for mental health programs, but the funding has to come from the healthcare system because mental health is health. And so I would say to you, the city is allocating more resources to things like our community crisis response service, which has mental health professionals show up instead of the police in response to a 911 call. We're allocating a 22% increase in that amount of money. We're allocating millions more to youth programs. But in the end, if we're going to attack mental health in a meaningful way and provide the kind of treatment that we need to help people deal with, you know, traumatic issues they face in mental health, then that has to come from the healthcare system. And that is not funded by us and shouldn't be through property taxes. I think most people understand that.
And I agree. As a City of Toronto property taxpayer, I mean, we can't fund everything. Our tax dollars, whether they go to the province, the federal government, or to the city in terms of property taxes, have to be spread out so that the biggest city, the engine of this country, gets the money it's needed to keep everything intact.
Yeah, and you've raised a very, very important issue I'll have more to say about in the coming days. But I think, you know, to be quite frank, I think the Government of Canada, to some extent, has lost the narrative on the importance of Toronto to the well-being of the country. And, of course, people roll their eyes outside of Toronto and say, well, of course the Mayor of Toronto would say that. 20% of the economy of this country resides in this city. And all the people, so if those people are dislocated, if those people are you know, feeling a sense of instability, as many are during this difficult time, I would expect that the Government of Canada would step up and provide extra support. And I would add to that the fact that all 25 of the members of Parliament from Toronto are members of the Government Party. So I just think I'm going to have to speak up more about that. And I think cities, generally, including Toronto, is the biggest, need a new way of financing their activities so that they are in a better position to help deal with issues like mental health or even just providing even better transit to people. So that's a subject, a different subject, but it's not unrelated. All of these things are connected.
Okay, so Toronto is the economic engine of the country, we all agree, and needs about $1.5 billion from Ottawa and the province. Is that likely to happen this year, Mayor?
Well, I'm just working at it. I mean, at the end of the day, the province very helpfully has put $250 million on the table as kind of a start on some of that. And, you know, we're working very hard. I mean, the city has itself found way more than $1 billion in savings over the last couple of years during the pandemic so that we weren't just kind of having our hand out. When you note that $1.5 billion, most of that is a shortfall caused by COVID. Mm-hmm. So, for example, even today as we speak, as we hopefully hit the tail end of COVID, the TTC ridership is at about 70% of what was normal before the pandemic. And so that's not anybody's fault. It's not mismanagement. It's just that there are fewer people going to work, as we know, and they're staying home to work, and more people that are a bit nervous about transit because of health-related reasons. So I think it's one of those things where we need their help. I've been asking for their help. I would expect that even the Minister of Finance, who's from Toronto, would want to fight for her city, to make sure it remains strong. But that's an ongoing file that I have to work on, and we're in a new budget year, and it just presents new challenges. But that's something that I've been, very occupied with for all of the years I've been here, the whole 8 years I've been here.
Mayor Tory, when you were here at the Zoomerplex for the CARPET Toronto mayoral debate back in September, you acknowledged to moderator Libby Znaimer that the basics had suffered: garbage bins overflowing, park washrooms locked, drinking fountains not working. What have you done to date to address these issues?
Well, for example, we've allocated $2.5 million in the budget that is set to be approved in February to speed up the process of opening the washrooms that open in the spring and leave them open longer, both the hours of the day and the months of the year. Again, I indicated during the time of that debate that I didn't make the decision, 50 years ago to build washrooms that weren't winterized. And the task of winterizing them isn't just something that can be done overnight. There's a lot of people who might have winterized a cottage will know. It takes time to do that and money, but we've allocated as well another $2.5 million to begin the winterization of more washrooms. So we're taking steps. I now receive a dashboard every week on the status of all of these things, including reports on the garbage bins and all the things that were mentioned that are kind of the nuts and bolts people expect. So I said we have to do better. I'm confident we are. I'm confident as well we're allocating millions of additional dollars out of the budget to make sure we do better, and I hope that people will notice that. But we'll also feel free to call 311 if they think there's something in their neighborhood that is falling short, because I can't help fix these things if I don't know about them.
Okay, so give us a good Toronto headline. We need a happy story.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can we look forward to this year? Give me a happy story.
Well, I mean, first of all, there's tons going on in the arts and culture sector. I mean, the sort of creativity and talent that exists in this city, and we are going to keep all the funding in place in the budget. Some people suggest that's an easy thing to cut, but I don't think it is. It should be cut. I think it is something that we tried to cut nothing in frontline services in this budget, and that's why there's a tax increase below the rate of inflation, but there is one. The second thing I'll tell you is I had two companies in my office this week who want to come here to invest and create jobs here. And, of all the cities in the world they could pick, they can pick a whole bunch, and they pick us because they see our way of life. They see the incredible talent that's here from our education system. They see the critical mass of industry. I mean, we forget that, on all of the surveys that are done about cities, we rank routinely in the top 10 in all the world, if you think about that. So we have our problems here, but we also have a lot going for us, starting with the talent and the way of life we have, where we embrace each other. So there's lots of good news. I have lots of optimism about the city, but of course, my job, like most jobs, focuses on the problems, because if you can solve those, you can even be better off. But there's lots to be thankful for, and the Leafs are doing well, so I'll add that.
Can you work on the Raptors for me?
I wish I could help with that too, but I got enough on my plate without taking responsibility for the Raptors. But they've got a young team as well, and they'll be okay. But I just think we have to sometimes look at the positive, and this is still, and I want to keep it that way, one of the best places in the world to live. And so I want to make sure we keep it that way, and there are many challenges to that, as there are with big cities. But with the support of the people, we can move forward on many of them.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thanks. You brave the snow now, and be well, and we'll try and get it plowed.
Okay.